Our case study is little bit different when we compare with the other case studies that were presented up to now. And so our case study includes two aquaculturists, experts, and I am not an aquaculturist, so please excuse me if I do anything mistake in aquaculture-related affairs. Our title is Impact of Climate Change on Culture-Based Fisheries of Seasonal Reservoirs in Sri Lanka and Resilient Capacities of Rural Communities. Culture-based fisheries in Sri Lanka is the main finfish aquaculture practice in the country, and which is conducted in non-perennial reservoirs, often less than 20 hectare at full supply level, and in minor perennial reservoirs, which are 50 to 200 hectares at full supply level. So this aquacultural practice is a secondary use of water body, because these water bodies are mainly meant for agricultural purposes, and the period of water retention is used for aquaculture. These seasonal reservoirs usually dry up completely during July to September and fill during the intermonsoonal rains in December to January. So I will show you the climate seasons separately in a different slide. Seasonal reservoirs are highly productive, mainly because of the change in environmental condition from a terrestrial phase during the dry season to an aquatic phase during the wet season or wet months. Water retention period in these reservoirs are usually 7 to 9 months. So that is used as the culture period. These reservoirs should be stocked with fish fingerlings in January to February. And then only we will be able to harvest it by August, when the water level reduces in the reservoirs. Dependent on hatchery reared fishery fingerlings is one of the characters of this culture-based fisheries. And fingerling rearing, fry rearing and induced breeding of fish should be done at a time so that fish fingerlings are available in January and February. So fingerlings should be available by this time. So all this process should be completed by that time. Rural communities are involved and the benefits and benefited by the CBF, culture-based fisheries. Agrarian Development Act of 2000 provide the provision for this. Provision for community participation in aquaculture in non-perennial reservoirs and culture-based fishery practices are ensured by this act, and has enabled coordination at decision-making levels between NACDA. NACDA is the National Aquaculture Development Authority and the Department of Agrarian Development. So Department of Agrarian Development are is the authority which controls these seasonal reservoirs, small reservoirs. Fingerlings needed are produced in fish breeding centers operated by NACDA. So fry fingerling rearing is done through community participation. During the growth period, no food or any other sorts of inputs are used. So it is different from other aquaculture practices that we heard in the morning. And harvesting is done when the reservoir water level is reduced using nets. No boats or other equipment which uses fuel or energy sources are used. So this shows the CBF process, which I briefly explained. Stocking of fingerlings is usually done when the reservoirs are full. And harvesting is done between June to September when water level recedes. So this shows the distribution of rainfall, temporal distribution of rainfall, aquaculture and paddy farming in Sri Lanka. So these are the climatic seasons. The northeast monsoon is one of the main monsoon seasons. The other one is southwest monsoon. Southwest monsoon is from May to September. Northeast monsoon is from December to January. And in between there are two intermonsoonal seasons, intermonsoon 1 and intermonsoon 2. So breeding is usually done in the intermonsoon period here. And culture period of the CBF is from December through to July, August. And harvesting is done from June to September when the water level recedes. And paddy cultivation is done in two seasons, in the both seasons. But in some reservoirs, only one season is cultivated. So this season is known as usually Maha season. This is the main season. Maha is the big season. And this is the other season, which is the yala season, the off season. Under some reservoirs, the full command area is cultivated. Some reservoirs, only Maha season is cultivated. And in some reservoirs, a part of the command area is cultivated during the yala season. So therefore, the water management practices vary from reservoir to reservoir. Water retention in non-perennial reservoirs depend on the rainfall pattern. And changes in rainfall pattern severely affect the sustainability of culture-based fisheries in non-perennial reservoirs. So that's what we did this study. And if there is a rainfall change, if the pattern changes, the filling pattern of the reservoirs also will be changed. So that will severely impact culture-based fisheries. So objective of our study was to investigate the potential impact of climate change on culture-based fisheries in selected small village reservoirs and minor perennial reservoirs of Sri Lanka, and to study the resilient capacities of the rural communities. So our partners are Department of Zoology, Faculty of Science, University of Kalania, and Department of Aquaculture and Fisheries, Faculty of Livestock Fisheries and Nutrition, Wayambe University. So the method that we followed, so we selected 25 reservoirs randomly from four administrative districts. I'll show you briefly the list of the reservoirs. So this shows the reservoir list, and with the agroecological zone, there are altogether 25 reservoirs. And these are selected from four administrative districts. One, Anuradhapura, Hambantota, Kurunegala, and Monaragala. Anuradhapura district is this one. So somewhere here. And this one, Anuradhapura, is Kurunegala. And then Hambantota and Monaragala districts. So these are in the dry zone, part of the dry zone. This is the better part. Better part of the country is this part. And the other part is dry. In between, there is a very narrow strip of intermediate zone also. Reservoir the data collection. The reservoir area at full supply level were demarcated with GPS and satellite remote sensing. Demarcation of the catchment areas and land uses was done from 1:50,000 land use maps. And also verification of land use patterns was done by visiting selected sites of the catchments and using satellite remote sensing data. A maximum depths of the reservoirs were also measured, because these reservoirs don't have any data that the area or the depth or the capacity, nothing is available. So therefore, we had to estimate all those. And then maximum depths were measured by visiting the reservoirs. And a field survey was conducted to identify cropping pattern, water usage of agriculture, total command area, and past experience of climate change. The measured depths, I'll show the... So this table shows that this table is included in the e-report also. For an example, it shows the area at full supply level and the maximum depth of the reservoirs. So these are very shallow reservoirs. 3.2, 2.5, 2.4, somewhere around 2 meters, 2 to 2.5 meters depth. Then we did a hydrological modeling. Because we don't have data the on water levels in the reservoirs or the capacity. So we wanted to know the capacity of the reservoir. So we did a hydrological modeling using HEC HMS software, which was developed by the US Army Corps of Engineers. And so this model was used to predict the runoff which is coming into the reservoirs. So in this modeling, we used the daily data and from the closest rain gauging station from 1961 to 2011. So it's about 50 years. And water losses from reservoirs were considered to occur in three different ways. Now, we using the hydrological model, we generated the runoff. And then that runoff, we assume that runoff comes into the reservoir. And then there are losses also taking place. Now, this hydrological model cannot account for those losses. So therefore, what we did, after generating the flow, we applied another model which was developed by us and to encounter all the losses which is coming in. So the losses from reservoirs were considered to occur in three different ways: irrigation, diversion for cultivation, for mainly for paddy. Usually paddy irrigation is taking place. The other crops, usually they don't irrigate from the reservoirs, because the farmers know that the water in the reservoir is not sufficient for go for other cultivations also. So the farmers, what do? They use maximum rainfall for their cultivation, and wherever necessary, they take water from the reservoir. So that's how they manage the water in the reservoirs. And seepage and percolation is the other loss, and the evaporation or evapotranspiration taking place from the reservoir. So these three losses we considered, and there is no base flow because these are all seasonal streams which are coming into the reservoirs. Imperviousness was estimated according to the nature of the land uses in the catchment area in the hydrological modeling. Monthly evaporation of different regions was calculated based on the pan evaporation data collected. So we collected pan evaporation data also from the closest meteorological station, and then we converted that to evapotranspiration using standard methods, which is proposed by the FAO. The main constraint in the study climate change scenario in CBF would be unavailability of water levels or water volumes in the reservoirs, as I said earlier. And so HEC HMS was used to generate that. And in the model, we use different components. There are different options that we can use in the model. So Snyder unit hydrograph we used as the transformation method. Curve number method we used as the loss method. Constant monthly base flow method we used as the base flow method, and so on. For precipitation calculation, we used the specified hydrograph method. And the water balance model includes some equations. The equation to predict the water availability in the reservoir, we used this equation. And then the evaporation loss we calculated using this equation. So all these equations we included into a model. And the irrigation diversion using this equation. And then spill out volume. Now these reservoirs are, now some of these, out of these 25 reservoirs, some of the reservoirs are individual reservoirs. But some of the reservoirs are along a cascade system. So if there is a cascade system, spilling out of water which goes to another reservoir. So therefore that spill out volume also we have to calculate and take as an input to the other reservoir. So therefore we had to calculate the spilling out volume also in order to account for the other reservoirs capacity. Now we did a literature survey also on the climate change prediction from 2020 to 2050 scenarios. So some scenarios are shown here. So I will put some summary of the findings. Spatial variation of rainfall in Sri Lanka during the wet season, that means October to February, that is the main season, for the baseline 1961 to 1990 and predicted 2050 scenario show decrease in rainfall across most of the countries. So one study show that there will be a decrease in the rainfall in 2050 comparative to the baseline of 1961 to 1990. And decrease in the wet season average rainfall, during the wet season average rainfall decreases by 17%. So they say that 17% reduction will be taking place, 17 to 99% depending on different scenarios. And also rains ending earlier. So they are predicting that rains will end earlier. So if the rains end earlier, that will definitely going to affect the reservoir filling pattern. And potential evaporation increasing by 3.5 to 3%. So if the potential evapotranspiration increases, then the reservoirs will be stressed more. Crops will be stressed more, therefore more water has to be taken from the reservoirs, so therefore the reservoirs will be dried up very quickly. And potential evapotranspiration, I explained those two. And average paddy irrigation water requirement will increase by 23 to 13%. So therefore that is going to impact on the culture-based fisheries definitely in the future. There is general consensus among future projections that Sri Lanka will become increasingly warmer during the 21st century. That is according to one study. Higher warming during the northeast monsoon and lower warming during the southwest monsoon is also predicted. Now this northeast monsoon is the main monsoon which is supplying water to the dry zone area. So therefore higher warming during the northeast monsoon is going to have some impact on the CBF definitely. Northeast monsoon is the main season which in seasonal reservoirs get filled. So with increased temperature, evaporation, evapotranspiration will be increased. Increase in paddy water requirement and increase in water loss from reservoirs. This will decrease the water retention in the seasonal reservoirs, or the duration of water retention in the reservoirs decrease in the culture period. So therefore, according to these predictions, in the future, the culture period will be reduced. Likewise, there are so many other studies also. Jayatilakan Rogers projected a somewhat better situation with simultaneously more variation in annual precipitation in the Walawi Basin. Walawi Basin is also another area where the culture-based fisheries is also taking place, that is in the southeastern part of the country, in the dry zone. Increased average reference evapotranspiration and maximum annual potential soil moisture deficit across the country by 2050. That is another study says that. So, rainfall predicted to reduce. Therefore, problems on reservoir filling and duration of the culture period will be reality in the future. In northwestern part of the country and Walawi Basin, problems of harvesting due to prolonged filling of the reservoirs are also can occur. Now, the dry zone part has so different agroecological zones. Therefore, all of the dry zone, though the country is small, all of the dry zone is not going to be affected in the same manner. So some parts will be affected in a different manner, some part will be affected in different manner. So usually, especially in the southeastern part of the country, will be affected in a different manner, where the rainfall shifting will be taking place, and therefore the intended harvesting period will be also, the reservoirs will be filled with water. So therefore harvesting will be difficult. So that will again affect the culture-based fisheries. The risks faced by the culture-based fisheries due to climate change are unpredictability of the rainfall pattern. So predicting the rainfall pattern will be difficult. And reduced precipitation in first winter monsoon, which is the period which generally contribute to the filling of the reservoir. Increased precipitation during the latter part of the southwest monsoon, that is in August and September. So if that period rainfall increases, that means harvesting will be difficult. Frequent drying off of reservoirs, frequency of drying off the reservoirs will increase because of the climate change. So that will affect the culture period. Uncertainty of water availability for agriculture and aquaculture. So these are the risks faced by the climate change. Now, according to our results of the hydrological modeling. Now, one of the results that we have found out of our modeling is that frequency of water volume reduction in seasonal reservoirs. So more frequent drying of the reservoirs. So here, this is 80s, this graph shows 2001 to 2010, this one shows 81 to 90. Now if you see these two graphs, you can see that very frequent drying of the reservoir is taking place. So this line shows the reservoir water level. And second finding that out of this modeling is that increased drawdown of the seasonal reservoirs. Drawdown has increased in the reservoirs. Now you see that this white line is 1965 to 70 and the black line is 2005 to 2010. So if we compare these two, we can see clearly more drawdown, increased drawdown in the reservoirs. So that has increased, and magnitude of changes in the drawdown volume is comparatively small in Anuradhapura and Kurunagala districts comparative to Hambantota and Monaragala districts. So from place to place this magnitude is varying. Some reservoirs show irregular pattern of water availability. Here you can see that irregular pattern of water availability with December to February period. This is the same period that we have shown. So therefore it's very difficult to make decisions in culture based fisheries. Shifting of the drawdown period is also observed. Now white line is 65 to 70, the black line is 2005 to 2010. Now you can see that shifting of drying period is obvious. Here you can see the shifting pattern. In many years it has shifted. So it is shifting towards August period, August, September, October, that period only it is shifting. Reservoirs are at full capacity level in mid-September. That is another problem occur in some other area of the dry zone. So by September, the reservoirs should be, the water level should be reduced in order to harvest the fish. But reservoirs are full. So that means there's another problem. So water, the fish,
one more crop, don't worry.
Yeah, fish cannot be harvested.
Fish bigger, don't worry.
So the impacts of this climate change, the impact of these problems are frequent fluctuation of reservoir volume, increased drawdown of reservoir and shifting of drawdown have created uncertainty of water availability in the reservoirs, caused curiosity of stocking fingerlings. So farmers are curious. They don't want to go and stock fish if this is taking place. Alter culture period, shortened culture period. Culture period is shortened. So, or inability of harvesting of the fish. Shift in the drawdown period has also influenced the sustainability of the culture-based fisheries in seasonal reservoirs. Early drawdown has shortened the culture period, causing marketing difficulties and low production. Frequent fluctuations of reservoir volume has created stressful condition to stock fish species and may create the mortality due to diseases, high vulnerability to predators, susceptibility of stocked fish for poaching, and intolerable water quality extremes causing massive deaths of stocked fish. Now, as we were asked to do on research, to find some information on resource use benchmarking, we tried. And the culture-based fisheries is, as I earlier said, that depend on food available in the water body. Composite culture is done. Energy is minimally used. And fish harvesting is mainly done using nets. So therefore, no inputs are used mainly. Yields of the reservoirs vary from 52 kilograms per hectare to 1,800 kilograms per hectare. And mean production was reported as 450 kilograms per hectare. And we did some stakeholder consultations. And so here you can see that the farmer participants. Now what we did was we studied in different reservoirs, and we in each reservoir we interviewed about 5 farmers. So 25 reservoirs we studied. So we interviewed about 5 farmers from each reservoir. And then the data that we collected, and we come up with some recommendations, and then we took that recommendation to another community who were not in our sample. So this community included, this farming community, we selected a sample of 60 farmers and from 20 reservoirs. And based on their input, we came up with these policy options. Long-term simulation of water volumes of seasonal reservoirs and those associated in the cascades should be combined with other models to predict reservoir filling pattern. Vulnerable reservoirs for the early drying out due to changes in rainfall pattern can be earmarked by using historical analysis of water level fluctuations. It can be used to rank the reservoirs which have high vulnerability for climate change impacts and less vulnerability for climate change impacts. Accordingly, priority for stocking can be given for the less vulnerable reservoirs. Second one is climate change has shifted the filling pattern of the seasonal reservoirs so that changes in stocking pattern are needed in culture-based fisheries. Third one is current analysis has shown that the reservoirs have reached full capacity in the period of September to November in most reservoirs. So that is the period where we should harvest. However, farmers are reluctant to stock fish in reservoirs until spilling off has completed. If fish can be stocked in cages in the reservoirs and release them after spilling off the reservoirs, extra 2 to 3 months can be added to the culture period where reservoirs have shifted drawdown. Fourth one is alternative means of stocking fish fingerlings reared by rural communities should be sought, and hence harmonization of agricultural and CBF activities in non-perennial reservoirs as well as in seasonal reservoirs depending on the water availability is recommended to improve climate change adaptation of rural communities. Fifth one is improved water management strategies should be adopted by the farming communities to improve the water retention in reservoirs. Therefore, marginal managerial decisions for CBF should be taken at seasonal meeting, which is known as Kanda meeting. Seasonal meeting conducted by farming community before starting the cropping cycle. Close communication with the government institutions directly involved in water management and aquaculture would be helpful for communities to have good managerial practices. Some sort of communication is taking place, but that has to be strengthened. Sixth one is identification of alternative stocking sources. Perennial reservoirs, minor perennial reservoirs, fish ponds, etc. For produced fingerlings, for instances where the seasonal tanks are not filled on time. Seventh one is improvement of value addition and product development for harvested fish would be an alternative to overcome marketing problems of less grown fish species. Capacity building in the post-harvest processing and value addition can draw the attention of women to CBF activities and improve the household income of vulnerable communities. So, summary and the action plan is prediction of water availability and risk assessment. Reservoir filling pattern and water availability should be predicted to plan the culture-based fisheries. A suitable methodology has to be proposed to predict the water availability under the scenarios of climate change. Now, under the scenario of climate change, how water availability is predicted still is a question. So, that's better if we can find a suitable methodology to do that. Suitable reservoirs under climate change should be identified and priorities will be given to the most suitable reservoirs to ensure the sustainability of the culture-based fisheries. It would be difficult to adapt common strategies to the entire country as different intensities and impacts are reported from region to region. So therefore, regional recommendations are important. Helpful to develop an insurance scheme for CBF in Sri Lanka to encourage people to invest in culture-based fisheries under climate change scenarios and minimize the risks on their investment. Need to increase awareness and capacity building, knowledge on changing climate and current adaptation and future strategies has to be studied. Awareness and capacity building in relevant authorities should be done. Improving awareness on climate change impact adaptations and mitigation should be taken as a national concern. Necessary strategies should be adapted to disseminate important information. Capacity building in the extension services to predict forthcoming changes and sharing knowledge effectively in advance with the community should be facilitated. Proper mechanism of collecting necessary field information which are important in future climate change predictions should be collected with the participation of community members. Capacity building in scientific researchers on climate change impact should be adapted. Capacity building in community level should be implemented. So with that, I would like to thank the NORAD and Norwegian Embassy and NACA funding this project. And thank you very much.